And here's the lesson title today on the wall, Stewarding Energy. This is going to be a little bit similar to last week's lesson. Last week we talked about stewarding health. And a part of that lesson was we talked about a little bit about rest as a part of God's process of us stewarding our health. And so today will be a little bit similar to that, not exactly, but somewhat, and with a little different emphasis. So as you can see, we need to go to Matthew 11. This is a great passage. And this passage won't necessarily come into play until we get toward the end of the lesson, but it'll be very important then. Stewarding energy. Matthew chapter 11. I think we'll see some very interesting things in this lesson about our society, where our society is today as far as speed goes. We're full speed ahead. And as Christians, we get caught up in that. We get caught up in this driven mentality that, boy, you got to go, go, go. And if you're not full speed ahead with no, your foot's off the brake completely, you're not right with God unless you're full speed ahead. And we learned a little bit last week that God wants us to slow down sometimes and have rest. And we'll talk a little bit more about that today and as it relates to our energy levels. We don't need energy drinks, right? We need more of how God intended for it to work. And that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. So let's read this passage, Matthew 11. Hope you're there by now. Verse 28 through 30, the end of the chapter, Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus speaking said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Watch this, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, God equips us to do everything that He wants us and needs us to do. I'm speaking about those things that fall in line with His will. And the overarching truth about this, I guess, about stewarding our life and even our whole life and all the resources that God gives us, but more particularly what we're talking about today, stewarding in energy, is that it all revolves around God's will. When we understand what God's priorities are in our lives, then everything can be hunky-dory. And so we need to make sure it's according to His will. It's when we try to do His work on our own, then that's when we start to have trouble. We don't seek out His priorities. We don't utilize the gifts that He's given us. One of those gifts being rest. Then we begin to operate on what we call overload. And we're going to hear that word quite a bit in the lesson today, overload. So let's pray and we'll get into the lesson. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to be in Sunday school this morning. As we know, it's a time of learning. And so I pray that you'll help us learn this important subject, not only stewarding our lives in general and all the resources that you allot to us, but today as we look at this particular topic, energy, stewarding our energy. Help us to understand, open our eyes, and help us to use what we've learned in our lives to be better for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've got plenty of competition this morning so far, so listen on purpose. You know, we can't attribute every single physical illness on stress or busyness, but the truth is that overload is a reality in many people's lives. And there's that word again. We're going to hear that word a lot today, overload. Sometimes we don't recognize it. We may be operating on overload, but we just don't see it because we're so busy. We don't have time to see what's going on. Sometimes we do see it, but we simply ignore it. We push it away, push it aside. Sometimes we just flat out deny it. Oh, no, I'm not operating on overload. Well, often we are, and sometimes we're so overloaded that we can't even stop to think about how to fix it without tipping over the whole apple cart. And so that fear comes into play as well. So So we have to learn to balance this thing about overload. So let's go ahead and write something down here right off the bat. If we don't learn to balance our loads and overloads in life, we will end up being crushed beneath the weight. And that's so true. I've seen this happen to many people. I don't want it to happen to me. But we have to learn where that balance is. We must learn to balance our loads. Overloads, really, they can induce stress. And of course, as you know, I think we talked about it a little bit last week, stress affects our health. There's a hormone in our bodies called cortisol, and stress triggers cortisol. And cortisol can bring on weight gain, has different adverse effects, but one of the big triggers for the release of cortisol in our body is stress. And so we want to be careful about that. So let's go to this next one here. When we live with extreme overload, which produces stress, then we won't be able to live, serve, or function at peak performance because of the stress that's coming into our lives. Sooner or later, we will encounter physical depletion or mental exhaustion. And then it's a downhill slide from there. But the question then is this: is there something that we can do with this heavy load, this overload that we're talking about? Is there something we can do? Well, there is. There is a biblical way to redistribute the weight and relieve the tension. There is a way, a biblical way, to redistribute the weight and relieve the tension. Listen to these two words. Margin and rest are closely related. Margin is created as we schedule according to our biblical priorities. We're going to say more about that here in the lesson. Margin is created when we schedule according to biblical priorities. Rest is our affirmation that the priorities God has placed into our lives are sustainable. And so those two things work hand in hand. So let's take a little closer look at both of those, which, believe it or not, is our outline. So number one, we got this. If we don't learn to balance our loads, margin and rest are two biblical answers to help us joyfully live the life God has intended for us to have. Margin and rest, sorry. I think that first part of the sentence is not supposed to be there. Yeah, you're right. So margin and rest is what it should be. I think I forgot to backspace and delete that top line. My bad. Margin and rest are two biblical answers to help us joyfully. I like the word joyfully, don't you? Boy, we get on overload and we lose our joy. Everything's in a hurry. I got to do it yesterday. I have to do it last minute. Full speed ahead, get out of my way. We get short with people, we get angry. All kind of things take place simply because we're operating on overload and we're not creating the margin or the rest, which are two biblical answers for overload. And boy, we get crazy. And so I want us to see how we can utilize these two things, margin and rest, to help us manage or to balance the loads that we have to carry or the overload. Now, Jesus Christ was the most productive person to ever walk on planet Earth. And yet, he didn't go about his days in a hurried, overloaded frenzy. Quick, we got to get to Jerusalem. Oh, hurry, let's go to Nazareth. Oh, come on, guys. You know, you don't see that in Scripture. He always seems to be calm. Well, except when he was turning the tables over in the temple, But he wasn't frenzied, he wasn't hurried, he wasn't overloaded. As he preached, he mentored his disciples, he healed the sick, he ministered to others. We see him giving, we see him loving, we see him serving with a calm and deliberate purpose. All the while, totally aware of the passing time, and yet he focused, listen, on eternal priorities. What was the Father's will? That set his priorities. That allowed him to do what he needed to do and do it on purpose. on purpose. How is it that 2,000 years later, with far more time-saving and labor-saving devices, we are more driven, more hurried, and have less time to show, less to show for our efforts? Why is that? It seems we are suffocating ourselves and our purposes by our lack of margin. Now, you're saying, Brother Kelly, what in the world is margin? Well, we're going to define it now. Margin. Margin is the space between our load and our limits. It's the space between our load and our limits. It is the gap between rest and exhaustion. It is the space between breathing freely and suffocating with all that we think we have to do. Furthermore, one more here. Margin is the white space in our lives and schedules. It's room for emergencies. It's space to breathe, to take a breather. So many of us are living on adrenaline. We work into the wee hours of the morning. We stay up late at night. We push harder. We try to work faster. The cliche that's out there, we burn the candle at both ends. And I remember in Bible college, we'd see people burning the candle at both ends. Sometimes we did a little bit of it ourselves, but not to the extent some people would burn out. Some people would end up with mononucleosis, just so tired, burn out from just pushing. And we try to do that. We take our work with us on vacation, or we have it FedExed to where we're vacationing. We have it sent to us. We live in an overloaded society. And in every age and every generation, there have been burdens to bear and difficulties to deal with. But in our day, the most pressing thing that we have to deal with, I think, is this overload. We're just a society that's operating on overload. And just to give you some examples, I'm just going to name these off. They're not on your sheet. It would have made it too long. But there's a man named Richard Swenson, Dr. Richard Swenson. He wrote a book called Margin. And he listed 19 different forms of modern overload. And I'm just going to read those off to you. There's activity overload. He talks about people being booked up weeks in advance. He talks about change overload. How that change in our society is just so furious and relentless. I mean, used to be there'd be change and you kind of could go along change with it. You could see it coming and change along with it. But now things just change so fast, you're just like, what happened there? And we don't even see it happening. Change overload. Choice overload. The number of choices just growing exponentially. Commitment overload. Some people are trying to do all things or to be all things to all men all at once, all by themselves. Debt overload, decision overload, expectation overload, fatigue overload, hurry overload, information overload, media overload, noise overload, people overload, possession overload, technology overload, traffic overload, and work overload. Of course, work is ordained by God. But work overload is not part of his original plan. We'll talk more about that here in a second. So, all this overload that's in our society and some of those things we deal with, we personally deal with some of those things. Does God give us grace to get to deal with this overload? Well, he does. He does. Does he bless our labor? Yes, he does. But we still bear the painful repercussions of marginless living. We have to create margin. And that's what we're talking about in this first point here. Hold your place in Matthew, but turn to 1 Corinthians real quick. I'll show you a very familiar passage, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10. And the very familiar verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man." Watch now. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make, notice this phrase, a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And as we look at the life of Christ throughout the Gospels, we really can see this way of escape that 1 Corinthians talks about. And that way of escape is this thing we're talking about called margin. Margin is the way of escape that God provides for us to handle the, we use the word temptation as Corinthians does, but really the overload that we deal with. Margin is the way of escape. And so that's why it is our first point this morning. So how do we prevent the stress of overload from taking its toll on our bodies? Well, letter A, we must schedule quiet time with God. Schedule quiet time with God. You know, if we look at the life of Christ, it's staggering to contemplate the demands that were placed on his life. Not only did he come to seek and to save that which was lost, but he was continually sought out by the multitudes. You know, all you have to do is heal one blind man or raise one person from the dead, and suddenly you're going to be sought out, right? Like, whoa, this guy can do great things. And so the multitudes were pressing to get to him, and so he was in high demand. He could have spent all day, every day, and pulled frequent all-nighters just to meet the expectations of others. He was in demand. But how did Jesus determine what should get his attention each day? There was so much to do, so many people to help, so many people to talk to, so many people to heal, so many people to teach, so many people to mentor. But how did he determine what was important and what did he need to focus his time on that day? Well, the answer was simple. After extremely busy days ministering to people, Jesus replenished himself by spending time with the Father. Now, friends, you and I both know that, but we don't do it. That's the problem. We could teach others this truth right here, but are we doing it ourselves? Are we spending time with the Father? Oh, yeah, I read my Bible. Oh, yeah, I pray. Yeah, but are you doing it as a means of replenishment? That's what the Lord did. He sought out the Father. He sought out this quiet. He sought out this solitude, spending time with his Heavenly Father. He rose early to carve out this time before the demands of the day descended upon him. Look at Mark chapter 1 with me. I'm actually working on a sermon from Mark chapter 1 and 6 that's along these lines, so I don't want to give too much of my thunder away in the lesson this morning, but this is so crucial. Look at verse 35, Mark 1, 35. Speaking of Jesus, and in the morning, notice this next phrase, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a, what's that next word? What kind of place is it? Solitary place. No phones, no TVs, no loud noises, no children, no whatever. Just solitary. So solitary that you can hear your own heartbeat. Quiet. Just you and the Father. And getting that replenishment that you need because we operate on overload. And so that's how the Lord did it. Let me see, I got another one here for you to write down. The only way to discern, and this is what the Lord did, the only way to discern what really matters most and to be a wise steward of our time and energy is to spend time at the feet of Jesus. That's how we discern. Hey, well, how do I know what's most important today? Spend time at the feet of Jesus. He'll help you align that up. He'll help you understand what his priorities are for you. And it's when we start making our own choices that we sometimes get it wrong and we focus our attention and our energy in the wrong place, and then we're depleted. The answer to overload is not to try harder, but to comprehend the work of the cross and to live in more of a vital awareness of God's grace. Thus, equipped with God's wisdom and perspective, His perspective, we have the capacity to live, give, and serve according to the priorities that God has placed in our lives. That's what matters. His priorities. And if we are to schedule margin into our lives, we need to center that around which to fill our time. It has to be around, the center of it has to be around God's priorities. So what is the center? What was God, what was Christ's center? Let's look at John 4. John chapter 4. What was the Lord's priority? What did He center it around? Well, this verse is going to tell us. John 4 and verse number 34. John 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Well, that's how the Lord knew what the priorities were. As people pulled and shoved and pushed and demanded His time and maybe even the disciples said, well, we really should do this, or we really should do that, or maybe we should go there, or maybe we should go over there. Jesus said, the will of the Father, that helps me determine what it is I should focus on. It's God's priorities. Over in chapter 6, if you want to flip the page to that, we'll see this verse. John 6, 38. He further said, I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. You know, this, what I'm going to say to you here kind of struck me unusual. I like, well, you never thought of this before. This is interesting. But think about it. When Christ went to heaven, when He ascended off the mount, went back to heaven, there were still a lot of sick people in Israel. The graveyards were still full. The leper colonies were yet populated, and there were still heavy demands on His time. Yet when Christ ascended, He had finished the work that God sent Him to do. Well, wait a minute, there's still all these sick people, No, He finished what the Lord had Him to do. He had the confidence to know what the will of God was because He had spent time with the Father. And He healed the ones that He knew His Father wanted Him to heal, and He raised the ones He knew that His Father wanted Him to raise, and so forth. So He did exactly what God wanted Him to do. And how He knew that? He spent time with the Father. And so that's our first point. We must schedule this quiet time with God to help us get our priorities in focus. And that leads us to the next thing here, talking about priorities. Schedule time for my priorities? No. Schedule time for God-given priorities. The answer to our overcrowded, overloaded lives is to discern God's priorities for our time and energy and to center our time on the main work that God has called us to do. Now, on your sheet there, you're going to see four things. And so what we're suggesting is four biblical priorities for every Christian, and I would agree with all of these. These are great priorities for you and I. We should have time for all four of these. So number one, goes without saying, well, sorry, let's get this here first. After discerning God's priorities, we should center our time and energy around those things. So once we acknowledge, okay, this is what God wants me to do, these are His priorities, now I'm going to schedule my life around those things to make sure I get them done. And that's these four things. I think we're on track now. Let's see. Yeah. So number one, goes without saying, walk with God. That's what we said in point A, schedule time with the Lord. There's a cliche in ministry, it goes, let's see if I get it right. Don't get so busy for God that you don't spend time with God. We need to be busy. There's things to do. There's lots of work to do. There's a world to reach. On and on, there's no doubt about that. We preach from this platform. We preach work for the Lord. Work for the night is coming and all that, right? So work is important. God bless you. But we have to walk with God. No amount of Christian activity can replace a personal walk with Him. Refuse to be so busy that you cannot spend time daily reading God's word, hearing his voice, and bringing your needs to him in prayer. It's so important. If you want to write this little reference down, we won't take time to turn to it. It's a familiar passage. Genesis 5:24 says, "And Enoch walked with God." He must have had a close walk because God enjoyed it so much he translated him to heaven. Enoch is one of the men in the Bible who never saw death. God just took him, raptured him. And why was it? And his walk must have been awesome. Number two, these are God-given priorities. We need to walk with God. We need to care for our family. You'll never meet a man in his 60s or 70s who said, "Wow, I wish I would have spent more time with my boss. I wish I'd given more to my company." But no, there's many in their seniors who say, "I wish I'd spent more time with my children. I wish I'd had more dates with my wife," or whatever. That's usually how it goes. A third priority, a God-given priority, is to labor at work. Okay, we said that already. We must work hard. Work is one of God's gifts. It's investing our energy into labor and having productivity to show for it. It's very gratifying. And we should give our all of our energy when we're at work, to our, you know, giving it to our responsibilities. And yet, in that, there's a warning that we be careful that work doesn't take first place in our lives over our family even. We must remain faithful to our family. Men in particular have a tendency to get this priority out of line. We too easily find our identity in our work or in our salary or in our title or what we do. It's funny, men meet each other and one of the first things they say, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" You know, it's like that's our identity, and that's okay, but we must understand the priorities that God gives us here. And then lastly, number four, is worship and serve God. I think I said this last week, or maybe, I don't know, sometime recently, but I've seen this so many times. The first occasion that a man or woman realize they're on overload and they need to create some margin, unfortunately, the first thing to go is church attendance or their Sunday school class, whatever they're doing. They give it up because they're on overload. I don't think the Lord's happy with that. The Lord can't be happy with that. I mean, the service and worship and being in church, those things, God doesn't want that to be the first thing to go. There's something else that's wrong. We need to realign because we understand that God wants us to organize our priorities, our God-given priorities, and worship is one of them, and our service to him. And so it would be against his will to make that to be the first thing to go. So we have to rearrange something else. God's plan for every Christian is that within the local church, he would find the support and encouragement to maintain balanced priorities. And so we must press forward with that. And we could read Hebrews 10:24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto good works and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together," and so forth. We don't have time to turn there, but you can jot that reference next to that point, Hebrews 10:24. Let's get this on our sheets. Your corporate worship of God and your service to God through the local church is one of the most meaningful, fruitful priorities in your life. Amen. It has meaning, and it's fruitful, and it's laying up heavenly rewards, right? It's heavenly, laying up treasures in heaven, we could say. So very important. Now, all that is pretty black and white, pretty straight down the line, all the things I just got done saying. Let me balance it a little bit. There are seasons in life where things get a little out of balance, or you might get pulled a little more toward one priority over another priority. For instance, and we're experiencing this now in my family. For instance, during your child's high school years, you might be likely to invest more time into their lives just because of what they're doing. And right now, Caleb is preparing for the spring play at his school. And so every Wednesday night, every Saturday afternoon, it's go there, go up to the school and drop him off for play, practice, and it doesn't make much sense for me to come back home because it's only an hour too long, so I just wait for him and I'll take my work with me and work and do things. But so we have this time where we're like investing a little more, so that's maybe a little off balance of what we'd like, but we just understand that those times in life happen when we may have to invest more time in another area than others, and it creates a little bit of unbalance. But but in life there will be brief seasons of imbalanced living, but the key is to make sure they're only temporary. So as soon as that season passes, we get back to the balance that we once knew or that we should know and get back in balance. That's so very important. Frazzled drivenness is usually an indicator that we are allowing incidentals to crowd out what is truly important. Do you ever find yourself frazzled? We can get that way. Frazzled drivenness. Sometimes that's because we're allowing incidentals to crowd out what's truly important. The only way to live with margin and yet still accomplish our priorities is to say no to that which does not fit the scope of priorities that God has given. What do you mean by scope of priorities? Well, we saw those four that are God-given priorities for all of us. Spend time with, walk with God, care for your family, you know, work hard, all that, serve in church. Those certainly are God-given priorities. Sometimes we have to say no to things that don't line up with what we find important. Now, some people, and you know them and I know them, some people can't say no. I've been in church with every church I've ever been in. There's been somebody in that church that just couldn't say no. And there's various reasons for that. It could be they need the validation, or they're just a workaholic, or they don't want to hurt people's feelings, or they want to feel accepted, or, whatever the fill in the blank, many reasons why it could be, but they just have a hard time saying no. Hey, can you do this? And they know they should say, like, how am I going to fit this in? Yeah, sure, I'll do it. It's like, seriously? People can't say no, but this statement that I found in the lesson really I thought was great. Here it is. Some find it difficult to say no, but here comes the great statement. But it's easy to say no when there is a greater yes burning inside of you. What is the greater yes? It's the things that God wants me to do, not what you want me to do. You see that? It's the greater yes. What is that greater yes that burns inside of you that says, you know, for instance, Jesus, his greater yes was finishing the work that the Father had for him to do. And so he did that with purpose. And because he did it with purpose, he knew exactly what he needed to do. He was able to make margin in his own life so that he could renew his own soul. He spent time with the Father. He lived according to God-given priorities. And that helped him to live a balanced life. And he could walk this earth in a calm, deliberate fashion because of that. All of us have heavy demands on our time and our energy. And no matter how much we push, how much we stretch our time, we can't add another hour to the day. Eventually, we just run out of time, we run out of energy, or both. We have to have margin. I think that's our last statement on this point. Scheduling margin around our God-given priorities is a humble acknowledgement of what, hey, I've got limits. I can only do so much. Not only that, you know, and this isn't on the lesson, I don't think, maybe in the next point it is, but it also allows us to recognize our dependence on God. Lord, I can't do this. I need you to help me. I depend on you. I'm limited. I have limits. And so we need the Lord. Well, let's move on. We're running out of time. There's only 2 points on this lesson. Next is rest for replenishment. So we talked about margin. And now we're talking about rest. Rest is one of the non-optional margins that we must schedule into our lives. It's non-optional. We have to have rest. We have to have sleep. just how the Lord made it. Rest, both in the form of sleep and recreation, is a significant part of stewarding our lives, or stewarding our health, rather. And so the first part of this is physical rest, literal physical rest. The Old Testament commandment to the Jews to take a weekly Sabbath was a precious gift from God to His people. Like many of the commands in the Old Testament, honoring the Sabbath was something God's people did out of obedience without maybe realizing what the full benefit of it was or what the full purpose was. They just did it out of obedience because God said so. In Exodus 20, I want to jot that down, Exodus 20, 8 through 11, He said, "Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do thy work. And the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord." Excuse me. And so this day of rest was God's gift to His people. But He designed it for human benefit. There was a reason for it. I want you to rest. Oh, you want us to rest because you rested, Lord? Well, yeah, but there's going to be a benefit to you because of the rest. And Mark 2:27, another reference we won't have time to turn to, but it says, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Now, while we are not bound to the Sabbath, so to speak, as New Testament believers, we still value God's wisdom and the principle of rest and replenishment. In other words, there was a reason behind why He said that. Just like last week we talked about some of the dietary laws, there was a reason. The Jews just did it out of obedience, but God had a reason behind it for their health and so forth. So we still see and understand the value of this. If completing our to-do list is a prerequisite for Sabbath rest, then we will never take rest. We may crash and rest here and there, but we will not sufficiently be renewed and deeply refreshed. A sacrificial life will always be unfinished. Our to-do list is never complete. The most effective stewardship occurs as we obediently take time to pull apart and replenish our body, mind, and spirit. Remember last week I gave you that little statement, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. It's so important. In an overloaded society, rest never just happens. It must be planned. Sometimes this might mean scheduling a mini vacation, or it could be a day just to disengage after a very busy season, but it's somehow just taking some time. Whatever forms of rest you find scheduling, keep this in mind. Don't neglect the most important basic, and that's sleep. When we try to get by on fewer and fewer hours of sleep, we shortchange ourselves of the energy and vitality we need to most effectively serve the Lord. I want us to consider these benefits of sleep. This isn't on your sheet. I'll just read them to you. Sleep boosts the immune system. It lowers cortisol levels. Remember I talked about earlier about cortisol. And it improves brain function. The Lord knows I need that. So those are some things sleep does for us. If you have trouble unwinding before sleep, then plan to do something that will relax your muscles and your mind. Adrenaline-pumping movies right before sleep usually is not a good idea. watching some intense news media or something. No, just you need to unplug and relax. Remember, rest takes time. Don't shortchange yourself. Taking time for adequate rest humbly acknowledges our dependence on God's intervention in our lives. Another verse, we can't turn to it for time. Psalm 127, 1 and 2. That's the passage that talks about, except the Lord build the house. But verse 2 is the one I want you to hear. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Amen. Rest is God-ordained, and it's God's gift to His children. When properly stewarded, God's gifts of margin and rest protect us from the perils of driven living. So we need to schedule margin and take rest, not to indulge ourselves, but to serve the Lord with wise priorities and full dependence upon Him. Number two, not only physical rest, but soul rest. As vital as physical and mental rest is, there is a deeper rest available and necessary for every child of God. No amount of sleep, no abundance of recreation, no weeks of vacation can give sufficient rest to the person who is overloaded, not physically, but listen, overloaded with maybe envy, bitterness, anger, unresolved conflict, or guilt. These types of burdens truly affect our health, and we cannot enjoy Christ's rest without release from them. And that's where our text comes into play here. Let's go back to Matthew 11 and see that once again. We need to wrap it up here in a second, but Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your what? Your bodies? No, your souls. You shall find rest unto your soul, your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Christ offers a level of rest that no seminar, no tranquilizer, no counselor, no vacation can deliver. It is the deep soul rest of serving one master and pulling with him, like this, on the light end of an easy yoke. He said, get in the yoke with me. Guess who does all the pulling? He does. You're just kind of going along for the ride. And it's an easy yoke. Amazing, amazing. This is soul rest. Not physical rest, it's soul rest. If you are wanting for soul rest, if you are tired of being driven by the cruel taskmaster of pride, then surrender to Jesus. Repent of any hidden sins holding you in the prison of guilt. Trust in Christ's forgiveness. Lay aside envy. Lay aside bitterness. And extend forgiveness to others. Willingly take Christ's easy yoke and find rest for your soul. Let's just get this conclusion. We have to stop now. As we steward the bodies that God has given us, wisdom tells us that it is easier to maintain health rather than regaining health. Would you say amen to that? I'd much rather try to keep it what I have, maintain it, than to try to lose it and regain it. So, all right, so that's our lesson on energy. And let's take a break. We'll come back for the morning service.